Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today we are actually going to get into my message and all of my notes. Are you good enough to go to heaven?
And we're going to go ahead and leave the cliffhanger here. No, you're not. Listen up. That's a good looking lid, man. I love you rep that. I love you rep the Pollock Family Foundation.
I love the Pollock Family Foundation. It fits me well. The Richardson 112 trucker hat.
What does that mean?
That's the kind of hat. It's a Richardson 112.
How do you know? Just think about that off the top of your head that I wear?
I figured it out one day.
Richardson 112.
All the hats that fit me, I looked at the style and they're Richardson 112.
You must have a big noggin or something.
I got a little noggin.
Little noggin.
I have a little head.
Not much in there. I hear you.
That's true.
You know, I'm the...
There's not much in there. You got a big old head.
The Richardson 112. Yeah, mine's the Richardson
212. So on the last podcast, we got into intermittent fasting and healthy eating and all of these things. So I need you to help me. Now, I want you to know...
You're a lost cause, but I will...
I'm not a lost cause because I've been eating mush for breakfast, which you and Lindsay told me about.
Yep.
And I've ordered...
Why is it so bad when you say I've been eating mush? What have you been eating for breakfast? Mush.
Is that what it's called?
So for anybody that needs to know what that means, mush is dry oats. And then obviously you can add fruit to it, but it's overnight oats, and which is really, really good.
It's like pre-made.
Well, that's for people that are... Yes, that's perfect for
it's
you.
Perfect
like I take
for me.
I take dry oats every week, and I put them in a big, huge glass circular tube or Tupperware, and I put a bunch of dry oats in there, and then I pour almond milk, and then I mix in some stuff with it, and I make dry oats. That's what I do. And then when I want to eat it, I just take it out, I put fruit in it, and I eat it. So it's already been there for the whole week.
Yeah.
But that's dry oats, just because oats is one of the best carbs. Rice is one of the best carbs. Like, those are good things for you. So that is a solid step in the...
So this is where I'm so confused. So you also told me about the Bear Bells protein bar, and we're not even getting a sponsorship.
Why are you giving them love, bro?
Because I don't understand. So anyway, my dad gave me this Consumer Reports magazine subscription for Christmas.
And it tells you the best of all the things?
So I was reading it last night, just thumbing through there. There's a whole article on good protein bars, bad protein bars. They say this is not healthy.
They say it's not healthy?
They say it's not healthy.
Why is it not healthy? You have no
because
clue.
It...
Now we're never getting a sponsorship.
Hey, the sponsorship just went out the window.
It said it had processed protein.
Processed protein?
And so I wanted to know, why do you think that's healthy? Because I have a whole box of them, and I keep ordering new boxes because I've been eating. Do y'all eat them for a meal or do you eat them for a snack? Is this a meal supplement?
It's more of a snack, but we don't eat them that much.
I think the reason you you told me to get these.
I mean, they taste really good, and it's...
Hey, if listen, anybody needs some Bear Bell protein
I've also
protein
seen
bars.
You, like, you eat the Clif bars, right?
No,
like,
I stay away from those Clif bars.
Like, listen.
I used to eat Clif bars.
We've got away from that, thank God.
I needed energy, yeah.
No. Yes.
But now I went with this because this is what you told me.
That's not a horrible option by any stretch of the imagination. Listen.
What would be a better option? Like, why are you...
I could give you another protein bar, but here's the thing.
Why'd you tell me to eat this?
It's not a bad option. It's way better. Dude, it's way better than what you're eating. Are there better options? Yes. Here's the problem. You have to be willing to forfeit taste to eat better options. You're not one of the people I've ever met that are willing to forfeit taste.
I could forfeit taste during the... I can't forfeit taste on my Blue Bell ice cream at night.
Well, correct. Yeah, which is ungood. But like...
But I have to eat some good go with the ungood.
That is absolutely not going to be something that's not a bad thing for you. That's not horrible at all by any stretch. That's a good option.
So I've been eating these.
Yep.
And look, the
those
chomps
are fantastic. The chompsticks. I mean, literally, you're a walking endorsement for free. Chompsticks are great for you. They have the turkey. They have all kinds of different flavors.
Zero sugar.
Yes.
So the funny thing about this, I normally get the longer chopsticks.
Chompsticks.
Chompsticks.
Yeah.
I thought I was safe. I thought I got a great deal. And then I get them, and they're like these miniature ones. They weren't the actual
big ones.
Well, now I'm having to eat like two or three of these. But I'll eat these on the golf course.
I'll eat these on the golf course.
I'll eat this on the
great protein. Chopsticks are phenomenal.
I'm so confused because you were telling me this is like the best protein bar I can get, and then I'm reading Consumer Magazine, and they're saying it's not. So I don't believe everything you read in magazines. I get so confused on the health. Diet and health stuff.
Family Goals, Prolonging Life podcast, making you healthier. We're going to get you some mush and some chomp sticks and get you covered.
So let's get into my notes this time.
Okay. Do we have to? Because the last two have been really good because we didn't get into your notes, but okay.
That's true. If you have something else you want to roll on, I'm fine with that.
If you want to leave, go ahead.
So are you good enough to go to heaven? That was the question we asked at church. And I'm under the assumption that everybody wants to go to heaven. I mean, the alternative is not good.
No.
Jesus said there's two eternal destinations, heaven and hell. Hell is our default destination. I mean, that's where the majority of the world is going. According to Jesus, only a few people are going to heaven. So how do you know if you're one of the few, and how do you know if you're good enough to go to heaven? So that was the premise. That's what set up the whole message. And then I got into that no one is good enough to go to heaven because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. And I kind of rolled out this mentality that I had growing up, which is that of a scale. So if my goods outweigh my bads, well, God's going to accept me into heaven. And so I think a lot of people have this mentality. And I don't know if it came from the Catholic Church, kind of a works-based salvation, but we're all under the impression that I'm basically a good person. And if my goods outweigh my bads, I'm a pretty good person, and then God would let me in the kingdom. And then I also had the illustration of the ladder. Like, we had the steps on the ladder.
The ladder was solid.
And by the way, the third service of the day, I went a little too high on the steps and that broke on me. The wood broke and I fell.
Better nutrition choices in the future might help with that.
Yeah, I don't think it could hold 200 pounds like they told me it could hold. But what do you think about the ladder mentality, kind of the stairway to heaven idea that, hey, if we can work our way there, we can do enough good deeds to get there.
Well, I liked how you put it, too, because like it started with the bottom, and it was the Ten Commandments.
Like the lowest level of morality. Don't kill somebody.
Correct, yeah. Don't kill somebody. And here's the thing. Like, if that kind of scares you, which some people probably go, crud, like, I don't like hearing that. Like, there's only two destinations. And I think we all realize, like, there's more to it. I think everybody kind of realizes there's more to this life than just this life. I think everybody kind of probably feels some of that innately.
Because God placed the desire for eternity. We want to live forever.
Yeah. Who doesn't
want to? That's why we're talking about the health stuff.
We want to be great as long as possible and live forever and all that stuff. So I think that's part of, but like just understanding, and we've all said this, we've all said probably or heard this before, but like if you think about it, and I love when you said it in church, but I was like, Leah, have you ever lied? Yeah. Okay. Well, then you're a liar. Like, Leah, have you ever stolen anything? Nicholas, have you ever stolen anything? Yeah, well, then you're a thief. Like, putting it in that context clears it up really, really quickly. Like, I'm a liar. I'm a thief. And then I'll let you get to the message in the other part, too, which I thought was fantastic of spinning it forward to the New Testament. But so I think understanding.
We've all broken the Ten Commandments.
Well, so understanding, like, we've broken these. And we are a liar. So, and we are a sinner. And we do have these bad thoughts, and we do have this brokenness. Like, that's an important place to start, like, foundationally knowing that and understanding that. And then the ladder going up obviously made a lot of sense going towards the cross. And as we continue to grow, but I'll let you keep going on that.
Yeah, so we get into the New Testament, and Jesus raises the standard. He raises the bar. And so if you – this is what Jesus says, you know, the Old Testament, you've heard it is said, do not commit, do not murder anyone. But I tell you, in the New Testament, do not get angry with anyone. So then I kind of went through the process of, have you ever gotten angry with your brother? Have you ever gotten angry with your sister? Have you ever gotten angry with your kids? And the point Jesus is making on the Sermon on the Mount is no one can live up to God's standard. Like, no one's perfect. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And James tells us that if we sinned at just one point, we're guilty of breaking all of God's law. So there's two ways to get to heaven. I didn't get into this. because it sounds a little bit what's the word?
I don't know. It's not
like hairy, you're a heretic. Sounds like I was being a heretic by saying there's two ways to heaven, but really there's two ways to heaven. One is you're good enough to get there on your own, meaning you're perfect.
Which isn't a way. So how can you get there?
Which you've never sinned.
Well, so how can you get there? There's not two ways then.
Well, there's not, but
well, you just said
that is
two
the
ways.
Option, but no one can do it.
Jesus, well, you can't give me an option that's
Jesus
not possible.
Jesus was the only person.
That's not an option.
Well, that's what Jesus is saying. Like, unless you have fulfilled the law perfectly, you can't get there.
So you can't tell me there's two ways. There's one way.
Well, that's why I decided not to go down. That's why I decided not to go down.
You knew that was
route,
coming out of my mouth.
I knew that
you?
Was coming out of you and everybody else.
Well, you know, there's three options to hitting a baseball. You know, you put the bat on it, or you miss. What? Huh? You didn't hit the baseball? Sorry, I digress.
So we get into kind of you want to create the need first that, hey, no one's good enough to get to heaven. So then hopefully people are asking the question, well, if no one's good enough.
How do I get there?
To go, well, how do I get there? And that was the cool thing. We've got this guy in the church, Tim Locke, who he built this hidden cross that raises up out of the steps. And it's like, wow. That's
pretty cool.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
I do like what you're saying, because it's, I think, just like with our faith and sharing our faith, I think questions are so powerful. Questions are just powerful in life. Mm-hmm. And just being able to ask somebody, you know, like, why? You know, and how, and those are important. Like, why do you feel that way? But now you said, okay, well, have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? Okay, well, we're establishing like the baseline here. Like, mm-hmm. you have messed up, you have fallen short. Okay, well, what's the answer? Like, you told me that. So now you've proved to me that I messed up. Now, like, it's the Roman roads, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You proved to me I've messed up. Like, okay, how do I fix it? Like, and wait, I can't fix it. Like, I didn't do anything to earn it, but he did. And so I think really good being able to show people, like, we're, because I think you hear it all the time, we're inherently bad and this, that, and the other. But that's kind of why. Like, we have these rules, which were the Ten Commandments that it gave us to mm-hmm. live by. And those were important rules to understand, like, where we miss the mark and where we fall short. But then Jesus comes in the New Testament, and it's like, just like with adultery, right? Like, if you look at another woman in lust, what do you say?
You've committed adultery in your heart.
You've committed adultery. So like you said, like I said, why does he say this when you were writing that? He's making it very, very clear. In case the Ten Commandments weren't clear enough, you ain't got it together. Mm-hmm. You ain't good. Like, it's very, very laid out for us that we're going to continue to mess up. We're going to continue to sin. And like, when you think of, you know, you've committed murder. If you think angry thoughts about another person, you've committed murder in your heart. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so we're taking away all the people that have a little bit of that self-righteousness. I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. Oh, crap. Well, I've done that. Oh, crap. Well, I've done that. Like, mm-hmm. yes, we've thought it, which is as bad as doing it.
Well, no one is as good as they think they are.
No. I mean, I
and the word of God was given to the law was given to point out our sin. And so that we would see that we needed a Savior. And so many times people use the Bible, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with people being very judgmental, but a lot of times people use the Bible as like a telescope into somebody else's life.
Ugh.
And it needs to be a mirror into our own lives. Mm-hmm. So we should read the Bible instead of thinking about other people. The Word of God is a mirror, and it's a reflection. Okay, how is our life compared to what Jesus' standard is, and then how do we need to make the changes? Like, how can we, you know, and that's the growth process. We're all trying to become more like Jesus. We're all trying to grow closer to Christ. And so the Word of God, hopefully every week, and I don't preach the gospel to make people feel bad. And I know some people really like to feel bad because it motivates them to do better. But every time we hear the Word of God, it should pierce into our hearts, convicting us, hey, here's an area of your life that you need to make some changes. And hopefully every time I speak, God's speaking into people's lives and speaking directly to their life and their situation.
I wish I could say that I haven't done that, but I absolutely have heard verses and I'm like, ooh, so-and-so needs this. And I'm like, wow. Like, I've had to talk to myself literally in church and be like, dude, who are you? Who do you think you are? And fighting that is something that's real for me. And so like a lot of times when I've read the Bible, you know, recently over the last year or whatever, it's like, God, like this is a word that's used to help transform me. Like, help me get this word into me and help me see where I need to be transformed and where I need to be changed instead of just reading it to read it, you know? And like we've talked about before, is checking boxes. And so, that's something all of us, like, we've got to be able to do and be willing and understand. But I think we need help with that. Like, I don't think we're going to do that naturally. I think our default is me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got to start to develop the, you know, the God and what he says. And like, how does this change? How does this work? And so I think, I know I do. I've thought about that. When I read a scripture and I've thought about somebody else, I literally have to call myself to the carpet right there. Like, really? Like, how about you apply this to your life?
It'd be really good for my brother to hear. Yeah. It'd be really good for my mom to hear. Well, hopefully the message is, in my mind, I'm introducing the message, but hopefully it's spurring people to dive deeper into it. And that's why I always put the bottom of the talk notes. Here's all the verses I used today. So if you don't have time to write them all down, you can go back later and look at them. But yeah, hopefully,
like that.
Hopefully husbands and wives and kids on the way home from church, you're asking the question, what did you get out of today's message? How did God speak to you? And it's fascinating to me, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, the divine unction, which is the anointing of God, that God may be saying something to you, saying something different to Lindsay, saying something different to Leah, something different to Nicole, like everyone who's there. And sometimes people come up to me and say, man, I was really struggling with this, and God spoke this through you today. It's like, it would have nothing to do with what the message was, but that's what they heard, and that's what God spoke into their lives,
which is cool. I think, hey, you know, you're in the right church when you feel like when you feel like the preacher's past, like, preaching to you, like in your life. But I think that's one of the coolest things about your walk is it's so unique, and it's so unique to you and where you are. And I think it's cool too. Like, and that's why I think there, as you get older, you gain so much wisdom. Like, you start to go through these trials and you start to have sympathy and compassion like you've never had before. Like, when you experience something like we did with Lindsay, like, your barometer's up for everybody else now. Like, how can I pour into others when they're going through this? I know how much that meant to me. Like, I know how much them taking time for us meant. So how can I now do the same thing? And I think that's what's cool, is the more you hear things, the more you live, the more you gain experience, and then finding the areas that you can start to use that knowledge and use that help. But I think hearing it is so different, because there's so many things that, how many things have you looked back on that you're like, God, I missed that completely. Like, what I thought that meant, and this is what it meant for me at that time, now the living, breathing word of God that changes. It doesn't change. It's the same living, breathing word of God. I'm always changing. So I'm always hearing things differently.
And whatever season of life you're in, it's a timeless truth. It's a principle that applies to every of our lives. And so you might read the same verse 30 years ago, and you read it today, and it hits you completely different, because you're in a different season of life and in different circumstances. Like, well, I never thought about that before.
Yep.
Even something as simple. So the gospel message is, none of us is good enough to get to heaven. God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Like, he made the way for us to go to heaven, and that's where I raised the cross up. And the classic verse you use is John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Most people, when you said the classic verse you use, is John 3:16. Yes, but you changed maybe that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, so Jesus is the way. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to the Father. So a lot of times you think about, I'm just using this as an example of what we're talking about. A lot of times you use that as a salvation. Like, Jesus is the way to the Father. But it also applies to prayer. Like, Jesus is the way to the Father. Like it's in the name of Jesus that we even have access to bring our request before God. So Jesus is the way. The same verse would apply to Jesus is the truth. Like the truth of God's word, Jesus is the word. So you could read one verse, and it might apply. You might take it one way 10 years ago, and then today you take it another way. But what we don't want to do, and so many people, and I get frustrated sometimes on my talk notes, because we were joking about this last week, I think it was, that people try to fill in the blanks ahead of time, and like they already know the answer. They already know, well, I've heard this verse before. Well, yeah, you may have heard that verse before, but it's a different context. It's
so penetrating. You don't like people filling out the blanks for
I us, love it. I love it.
Really?
People you do that. People sound been, like people it right been there. Doing that for like, your, what I don't like is
that you already have the assumption of what you're going to talk about and discuss.
People think they've already heard a certain message before, so they just tune. Oh, I don't need to hear this. Isn't for me. This is for like a new Christian, or this is for like a non-Christian.
I don't know about you, but like, and you probably don't, but I do. Like, it's the same thing with me with reading the Bible. I have a tendency to turn my brain off a little bit because I've read so much of the same things. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to go, all right, lock in. Like, and what, there's something fresh. There's something new. Like, you have something in here you need to hear. Don't just assume I've heard David and Goliath 55,000 times. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what we're going to talk about. And I know about the stones. And I know about him cutting off the head. And I know about all this. I've heard it so much. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's important, and this isn't something probably you're going to hear, and this is not like a biblical thing. That's why I think it's really important for me. I like to turn on sermons from different people and listen to different things.
Hear different voices.
I like to hear different voices. I like to hear the word of God and the way it hits somebody else, because I'm like, dang, I didn't think about that. That's awesome. And then it strikes me a little bit different. So when I go walk, I love to put on a sermon. Mm-hmm. And I love to listen to certain people break down the word, because I'm like, I never saw that. I never knew that. That's amazing. And it kind of gives me a glimpse into what they've learned and what they've mm-hmm. studied, because it's just like the commentaries. Like a year ago or 2 years ago, I never picked up a commentary in my life. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. And some of y'all might not, but like people that went to school for years and years and just studied the Gospel of Matthew. Mm-hmm. Like, you think they're a wealth of knowledge? Yeah. Like, I've studied football for years and years and years, which is why I know a lot of football, and you probably want to listen to me. Somebody that's wrote a commentary on something that studied it in college mm-hmm. for 4 years or 6 years, like, dude, we got to use that resource. We got to use pastors that use the Word of God. I mean, not all of them do that, but like, they use the Word of God. And so I think it can hit you a different way and spark something in here that it's not the same old story, because I have a tendency to kind of do that sometimes. And I don't love it, and I know it, and I try to get it out of my head as, all right, dude, stop being a know-it-all. I know I've heard this story, but like, God's got something in here for me.
Mm-hmm. I think getting back to that gospel message, I think about the diagnostic questions from the old evangelism explosion. It's the story of someone dying and going to heaven, and Peter saying, why should I let you in my kingdom? Or God saying, you know, why should I let you in the kingdom? What is the answer to that question? And most people will go through this list of
the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of
all the good
sanctification.
They do. But the answer to the question is, I don't deserve to get here. I'm not good enough. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. I'm putting my faith in the finished work. So it's not Jesus plus my good works. It's just Jesus. We're saved by God's amazing grace through faith in Jesus. And so I really love the story of when Jennifer and I went to the Cove Billy Graham's training center this summer.
Yeah.
And Gigi, his oldest daughter, was his caretaker. And Billy Graham's last words were, focus on the cross.
Tell the whole thing. Like, he can barely speak.
Yeah, I mean,
he hadn't had a lot of life left in him. He's laying in his bed, and he calls Gigi over. And
yeah,
says,
and she was even telling us for weeks. He was just grunting and could hardly open his eyes, and he was at the last stages of life. But one day, Billy Graham waves her into his room, and he kind of pulls her close, and he musters up enough to say his last words. And his last words were, focus on the cross and the person of Jesus. And when I heard Gigi say that, I felt like God was saying that to me, like, this is like new revelation. Like, that's what I need to focus on. That's what we need to focus on. That's what our church needs to focus on. Focus on the cross and the person of Jesus. I think that's it's simple. And you could say, well, I've heard that.
Well, and you've probably heard it. Yeah, you've probably heard it 100 times. But
what does that mean to you? I mean, when I said that, what did that mean to you? Focus on the cross and the person of Jesus.
Well, I mean, the cross is where it happened, obviously, but the person of Jesus. And the cross to me represents, obviously, what happened to him on the cross and the resurrection. But the person of Jesus is how he lived his life, how he treated people, mm-hmm. who he was, who he said he was, who he was, and who he delivered to be. So I think it's awesome when you say that, because it is. That's why it's important to listen to other people. Like, certain people, find those people in your life that, like, it hits a little bit different and it's very relatable. Like, when it hits you, like, bam, like, that makes total, like, Billy Graham with Gigi telling you that, like, dang, that hit me hard. Like, find those people as a pastor, find those people that you read devotionals with that really strike that chord, that make you think, that don't sacrifice it. Cause here's the thing, we can have all the feel good messages we want, but what did you just say? It's the person of Jesus. It's God's word. Like, there is no feel good outside of that. Like, if you don't believe that, the rest of it doesn't matter. Like, we have to understand that. Like, that is the part of our faith. That is the person of our faith. That is the object of our faith. It all comes from there. You can treat people, be nice, all this different stuff. There's one way. It's that cross. It's following that dude, that man, mm-hmm. right? So I think that's... it's kind of cool, and I'm not surprised that, like, because Billy Graham was a stud. I went back and I've listened to some of his sermons.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. I mean, really, really good. Something that slapped you in the face, man. Like,
just I love good going stuff. Back and listening to Billy Graham. I think the focus on the cross and the person of Jesus, I think that would be a good filter for reading the Bible. And so as you're reading a passage, say you mentioned Matthew and Leah reading a particular passage, hey, what did you get out of it? I think another question to ask is, what does this passage teach me about the person of Jesus? Or what does this passage teach me about the character of God? Like, what can I learn about God from this passage? And then how can I apply that to my life? Because our goal as Christians is become more and more like Christ. We want to be Christ-like. And so what is this verse teach? So even going back, you mentioned the story of David and Goliath. Like, as you read the story of David and Goliath, think about what is this passage teaching me about the person of God? What is this passage teaching me about the character of God? And then how can I change? What decisions or what steps can I take in my life to become more like whatever character quality you read about in that passage? And I think that's where, as Christians, none of us have arrived. I mean, the Apostle Paul said, you know, that he hasn't arrived. He's still pressing on toward the prize, to the upward call of God. Like none of us have arrived. Like, we're all trying to grow closer to Christ and become more like Christ.
Yeah, I like that. Those are good things to keep in mind when you're reading, to ask those good questions to your kids and to yourself. These are questions I need to ask to myself when I'm reading the word. Like, these are, because I need to find different ways. Like, you didn't do that when you were a baby Christian. Like, you were just like, hoof, ho, how, drinking through a fire hose. You know what I'm saying? Like, but now, like, what does that say? What does this passage teach me about the person of Jesus? What does it say about the character of God? But the most important part to me is what you ended with, though. How do I take this and use it? Because the Pharisees knew about the character of God. The Pharisees knew the word of God. It don't matter if I don't live it. It doesn't matter. It means absolutely nothing.
You have to do what it says.
I gotta take this and take the characters and take the principles and take what I've learned and apply it slowly to my life. Not rapidly, because I think it's hard to do rapidly. Some things will change rapidly, which is great. But then that process that's called sanctification, that takes time over years and years of studying and discipline and, you know, screwing it up and doing and getting better and accountability with friends and your spouses and your kids, like, those things, you know, take time, but we've got to take those takeaways and think about, how can I tangibly take this and go apply it? Mm-hmm. Like, How does this fit for me? What does this look like for me? I need to make some decisions here and I need to get to that. But what's the decision I can take today? What's the decision I can take tomorrow? Not, I got to get there. It's overwhelming. It's huge. There's no way it'll happen. Well, no. Let's start right here with one small step and then I'll get to there. I mean, David had to pick up the stones before he got there. Right. Otherwise he wouldn't have killed Goliath.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to go through those steps. We're going to have to go through those steps if we want to do great things for the kingdom.
Yeah. One of the things, so I have a discipleship group and I start off like baby steps with them because I don't want to overwhelm them with too much. So at first you just have to show up. You know, that's like first semester, you're just showing up. And then
you're just getting fed, right?
Like, yeah, they're just getting fed. They don't have to prepare anything. And then the next semester, all right, I'm going to give you one Bible verse. So we're going to do one verse a day, and then we start texting each other. You know, it could be a simple little verse like John, you know, 3:16, or we mentioned John 14:6. So now I've been meeting with these guys for a little over a year. They've been pretty consistent in their daily quiet time. Well, something I do is I read the Bible through in a year. And so I decided to introduce this to the group. Like, hey, this is going to be a much bigger commitment than doing one verse. So it's like I'm slowly, so now we're reading the Bible in a year. And I was talking to one of the guys the other day. And he's like, man, that's a lot. You know, it takes a good, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And there's a devotion that goes with each day. And I said, yeah, I didn't want to introduce this to you a year ago because you weren't even getting in the word any.
No.
But now that you're in every day, you're doing one verse. Now I'm trying to give you a little bit. So it's like I feel like the Christian life and even our relationship with God is new revelation comes when we're faithful with he's entrusted. Like he's not going to teach us new things if we're not even faithful to do
he can be trusted with a little can be trusted with a lot.
Yeah.
So
the more faithful you are in the little things, well, then he's going to entrust more to you. So there's a whole.
I'm glad you got 30 pages of notes for that, buddy. 3 weeks later, baby, we just finished Pastor Jay's sermon. I'm glad you were listening.
Let me leave our people with this. Focus on the cross and the person of Jesus. Isn't that good? That's good stuff.